Hello there and welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimek. Today is April the 8th. It's Thursday. And I'm going to start out this program by asking you a question. Here you go. You ready? Why are you troubled? Good question, right? And if I were to ask you that question, you would probably have no problem coming up with several reasons. Why am I troubled? Here's why I'm troubled. The state of the world, my finances, my health, my children, and on and on and on. We're going to look at that question today as we continue our closer look at the mass readings for the mass, the daily mass for the Thursday of the octave of Easter. That question was actually asked by Jesus to his apostles. And I think it's one that we need to explore. And I think we need to talk a little bit about, why is it that we're troubled? What is bothering us? And then where do you go with that? You know, it's easy for me to say, what are you troubled about? And then don't worry about it. Well, why don't we do it this way? Why don't we talk about, in answer to the question of Jesus, why are you troubled? Well, here's why. This, this, and this. And then what? And the good news is I have a then what for you. So I'm not just going to put this out there and say, that's interesting. No, I have an answer. And I think if we look at this objectively, I think there's a way forward for this, a way that's going to bring each of us the peace that we're looking for. Because let's face it, we're all looking for peace. Jesus wants to give peace, as you're going to see in the gospel that I read today. Now, how do we make it work so that he gives us what he wants to give us and that we learn to accept it? Because I think that's the problem. We struggle to accept it. So we will talk about that on the show today. I hope you could settle in. I hope you're having a good day. You know, something comes to mind. We just got done going through Give Up Worry for Lent during the Lenten season. And now I've noticed that the sales of my follow-up book, Give Up Worry for Good, are really picking up, which is a fantastic thing. But I was thinking today, actually last night, what about if somebody says, I'm not a worrier? I'm not a worrier. Well, I think this is, at least in my mind, the work that I do, presenting Jesus to help us handle worry. And if many people worry on some level. I mean, I think the vast majority of Christians that I've spoken with say, yes, I worry. Some excessively, some not so much. But some do come up to me at times and say, I don't worry at all. Well, to those individuals, if you're one of them, you came to the right place, because I want to talk about that today, because I believe that there's a broader picture that we can look at when it comes to worry. There's a larger cause of worry than just wanting to avoid suffering. And if we look at that larger cause, that causes people like me to worry, I think it's going to make some sense to you, even if you're not a worrier. And I have a feeling that I can expand the audience that I speak to if we talk about this. Now, I know it's like, what the heck is this guy talking about? It's hard because I don't want to give away the punchline here. So you just have to stick with me. You know, sometimes it's easier to just to come out and say things instead of beating around the bush, don't you think? Because I'm like talking myself in circles here, trying to avoid giving away to you. What I plan to talk about, but it might be easier to just come out and say it. But anyway, at any rate, I'm not going to do that. We'll talk about that after we pray. So right now, why don't we turn to prayer? Why don't we turn to our Lord and talk about what it is that we need today? Address the fact that he loves us and he's bigger than any problem we can ever face. And then we'll get on with the show. And I think because we're focusing so much on Jesus in the gospel, and obviously we're still dealing with his resurrection, which is a good thing. We don't want to let that go. Let's address our prayer directly to Jesus today, okay? Can we do that? Let's do that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, as we continue this look, this celebration, I think is a more appropriate way to put it, of your resurrection from the dead, we recognize, Lord, the many ways that we, as your followers, still stay buried in the tomb. We're not following your lead. You know, we claim to be your disciples or your followers, But yet you rose from the tomb. And we're sometimes still buried under our problems, buried under the stress of daily life. But you came to liberate us from that stress. You came to give meaning to our suffering, to give us peace, even in the midst of suffering. But I think sometimes, Lord, we don't follow you as much as we should. So we're going to ask that you help us with that. Since you rose from the dead, we ask for the grace to rise with you, not only when our life on earth is over and you come again in glory and our bodies are reunited with our souls and we have glorified bodies, but now, the here and now, because you don't want us to be burdened by worry and stress and sin. You came to free us from these things. So, Lord, we pray for the grace to let that happen. We pray for the grace to follow you, to trust you, to listen to you. Lord Jesus, we lift up all of our needs. We lift up our friends, our families. We lift up our country. We lift up the world. We pray to be able to be used as your instruments, Lord, in the world. Please use us to draw people closer to you. And we pray that our greatest desire would be to obey the commandments laid down through you, laid down by through your church, and to put the Father's will above our own will. Jesus, I ask that you pour out your Spirit on me today to give me the words. I don't want this show to be about me. I want this to be about you, Jesus. I want you to tell me what I'm supposed to say today. And Lord, please open all of our minds and all of our hearts so that we are able to hear what you say, the message that you have for us today, and that we are able to follow it. And Jesus, I ask this in your name, through the intercession of your Blessed Mother Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Well, thanks for praying with me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm taking a sip of my water right now. I just got in from a walk. Today is my beautiful wife's birthday. We just took a nice walk. It's a wonderful day outside there. But I'm a little parched, you know, I've been having allergy issues lately, and it's I'm not sure what triggers it, but there are some days that I wake up and I'm just a little hoarse and I'm congested and it's not a lot of fun. I love the warm weather, but I don't know if it's all the trees starting to come to life. I'm not complaining about it, but I think it's just good for me to always have my water on standby. Anyway, great to be with you. I'm Gary Zimek. This is Following the Truth. We come to you every Monday through Friday. It's always a blessing to hang out with you for 30 minutes each day. And look, by the way, if you haven't gotten a copy of Give Up Worry for Good yet, why don't you do that now? Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. I looked right before we went on the air. And it's funny because Give Up Worry for Lent, I found out some information yesterday that I had my suspicions, but I wasn't sure about this. Give Up Worry for Lent, it's been out 3 years now. This year has been its most successful year ever, which is very unusual for books. Typically, they sell a lot the first year and it goes down each year. Well, the book has not only done consistently well, first year was phenomenal. The second year, a little bit less, which was expected. But this year was the greatest amount of sales ever. So that tells me, first of all, that tells me that the Lord's anointing is all over this project, and I'm so grateful that he's blessing it the way he is. But I also have a feeling that based on that information, the book is going to continue to sell very well each Lent, which again, I'm so blessed to be a part of this project. But the point I want to make is that, and by the way, thank you for purchasing the book. If you've bought a copy of it, if you shared it with your friends, I'm extremely grateful. I'm extremely, extremely grateful from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. But what happened was the book got so much publicity that I didn't get the chance to really promote Give Up Worry for Good, which is the 8-week program with the follow-up to Give Up Worry for Lent, also designed for group study, because I was so busy answering questions and promoting Give Up Worry for Lent because it just continued to sell. But now I noticed today that Give Up Worry for Good is the number one new release on Amazon's adult Christian ministry category, which is really fantastic, and I'm very pleased about that. We'll talk more about the book as we go forward, but if you want to pick up a copy, Give Up Worry for Good, it's very similar in format to Give Up Worry for Lent, except it's an 8-week program, and as I said, it's designed for group study or individual use. Same type theme, Bible verse, reflection, call to action each day. And in addition, though, Give Up Worry for Good has a weekly plan for getting together in a small group and talking about it. So check out followingthetruth.com for more information. Also, if you haven't signed up yet for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, you can do that for free at followingthetruth.com as well. All you need to do is supply your email address and you will be all set. Okay, so let's talk about this message today about why are you troubled. You know, this is not me. I'm just repeating the words of Jesus to his apostles. I'm going to read the gospel from today's mass. It's from Luke chapter 24, verses 35 through 48. Now, this is the second part of what we heard yesterday at mass, and I talked about on the show, the two disciples traveling on the road to Emmaus, and they encountered Jesus. They didn't recognize him. Eventually, they realized that it was him, and then he disappeared from their sight. And they went to tell the apostles the good news that they had encountered Jesus, and the story picks up today with the gospel. But it really centers around this question from Jesus, why are you troubled? Let's talk about it now. The disciples of Jesus recounted what had taken place along the way. Now, this is the two guys traveling to Emmaus and how they had come to recognize him in the breaking of the bread. Now, they're with the apostles who are hiding behind locked doors because they're afraid that the authorities are going to come for them next. You know, they took Jesus out, apparently. Now they're afraid that they're next. While they were still speaking about this, now this is where it gets really cool, Jesus stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now, you know, there's the message. There's the message for all of us today. Peace be with you. From Jesus. Notice that Jesus is not saying, you guys should be more peaceful. He's giving them the peace. There's a big difference. When we look for peace sometimes, we just want to make all of our problems go away, right? Make all of our problems go away, and then we're going to be peaceful. Well, the world doesn't work that way. You're never going to find a time in your life where you have zero problems. You're always going to have something. It might be minor, but you'll always have something. It'll be a rainy day, or your car, your check engine light will come on, or something will have, something, appliance will break, or you'll have traffic on your way to work. And there are many things in life that deprive us of our peace. Sometimes they're big things, sometimes they're little things. But Jesus is saying, no, my peace, my supernatural peace comes from me. I give it to you. So he gives it to us just as he did to his apostles. Peace be with you. That's the message. Now you can imagine their reaction. These guys are terrified. They're hiding behind closed doors, locked doors. And Jesus apparently walks through the door, because remember, he's got a glorified, risen body now, which isn't subject to the same limitations that his earthly physical body was subject to. And he says, peace be with you. Their reaction, they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. I'm glad that nothing's changed with these knuckleheads. They're startled, they're terrified, they think they're seeing a ghost. And Jesus had just said, peace be with you. And you know, I think that, and I talked a little bit about this in my reflection today, I think that Jesus is saying the same thing to us today. Peace be with you. Peace be with you in the midst of all your problems, in the midst of all your difficulties. Peace be with you. And what happens? We are often still troubled. We are still afraid. We still think like, but I got all these problems. How in the world can I experience peace, right? It's very common. We all do this at times. And then Jesus said to them, and I think this is what you and me, we need to take this question. He's going to ask them a question. And since the church views the Bible as the word of God addressed to each of us, to you and me, this is a personal message, then these questions that Jesus is about to ask, they are addressed to us as well. You ready? Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Why are you troubled?" Now, here's the way I look at this. I don't look at this as a rhetorical question. And I look at this as Jesus expecting an answer, because this is an answerable question. You can answer this. Why are you troubled? Well, I'm troubled because my finances are down the toilet. I'm troubled because my health isn't good. I'm troubled because I'm worried about my kids. I'm troubled because I'm lonely. I'm troubled because I'm afraid of COVID. I'm troubled. I'm troubled because of the state of the world. So we all have an answer to that question. What I'm proposing to you today is to go ahead and answer it. To let Jesus, and this is an encounter, right? This is sort of an example of what they call, what the church calls Lectio Divina, sacred reading, a way to have a dialogue with the Lord through the pages of Scripture. So in other words, he's asking us, why are you troubled? And now I'm saying, go ahead and answer the question. Don't just look at this as a hypothetical. Don't just look at this as a dialogue between Jesus and his followers 2,000 years ago. Look at this as a question addressed to you and answer the question. I am troubled, Lord, because this, 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 and this. That's why I'm troubled. And then I encourage you to take it to the next level and ask for help. So first list the problems and then say, Lord, can you help me? I don't want to be troubled. You just gave me your peace. I want to accept that peace, but my health, my finances, my loneliness, my fear of what might happen tomorrow, all these things are disturbing my peace, taking away the peace that you want to give me. But I want your peace. So can you help me with my problems? And then expect him to do that. Okay, that's where I would go with this. And Jesus said to his, we'll continue on with this gospel. And Jesus said, why do questions arise in your hearts? In other words, why are you questioning this? I'm alive. I'm alive. And the same applies to us. We're supposed to be, or we should be as Christians, really ecstatic about the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Unfortunately for many of us, and look, I'm guilty of this. I got to remind myself of this too. We're confining this piece of information to a religion textbook somewhere or the Bible. And Jesus rose from the dead and, you know, he ascended into heaven once he rose from the dead. This is real. He has to become, his resurrection has to become real in our life if we are ever going to expect any kind of lasting peace, because it is real. And the way it becomes real is that we answer these questions. We have the discussion with him. We ask him for help. And Jesus goes on to say to them and to us, look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. It's me. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have. In other words, he's real. He's alive. And he's inviting us to touch him, obviously in a figurative way, because we are not observing his body right in front of us. This is, we have to do it by faith. But touch him, encounter him, explore him. He showed them his hands and his feet while they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed. Okay, now they're starting to get the joy. Now they're starting to realize, hey, this guy is alive. He did what he said. Their faith is beginning to grow. And he asked them, and I really like this part, have you anything here to eat? Can you imagine that? It's like these guys are, you know, freaking out because he came back to life. And he says, you guys got anything to eat? Now, I can picture them saying, you know, Lord, honestly, we've been a little busy over the past couple of days. We haven't had a chance to do much shopping. But that's not what they said. They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and he ate it in front of them. Very interesting. Gives us an insight about what the glorified body of Jesus is like. And, you know, we have questions. We use this as maybe the basis of what we're going to experience in the next life. And I think that what we can draw from this is that at some point we will be recognizable to those around us, hopefully in heaven, right? So, you know, it's kind of mysterious. What's things going to be like when we die? It's hard for us to really grasp that. We get a little idea by looking at this, what the Lord's glorified body appears to look like. And Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And see, one of the things that I recommend doing, and I always try to do this when I read scripture, when I open my Bible, and even at Mass before I hear the readings proclaimed, is I ask the Holy Spirit. And remember, that's the Spirit of Jesus. The very Spirit. He gave us his very Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I ask the Holy Spirit to open my minds so that I can understand the scripture. It doesn't mean you're going to be a scripture scholar necessarily, but it means that he will be able to speak to you or give you a message. In my case, it's usually very simple. I try to key in on one particular key message. And that's what I think the Lord will do to you as well. If you just say, "Please open my mind, Holy Spirit, help me to understand." And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." He's reminding them of the fact that the scriptures indicate that the Messiah would do what he would do. And Jesus himself said that they'll kill me and I'm going to rise from the dead. And he's reminding them of that fact. But I think for the purposes of what you and I are talking about today, I think we really want to answer that question. Why are you afraid? Or why are you troubled? And you know, whatever it is, then bring it to Jesus. And I believe with all my heart that you will eventually be able to experience that peace that he wants to give you. Not instantaneously, not maybe in the degree or the level that you want all at once, but little by little, you will become more peaceful if you bring to him your problems, if you have that encounter with him every day, if you really just have that dialogue. You know why? Because he's real, and he wants to be a part of your life. He has changed my life. But for too many years, I viewed Jesus as not real. I viewed him as George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, a historical figure who lived 2,000 years ago and who really was not alive and was with me. But that's not true, because he is alive. He is with me. And once I began to, number one, realize that, and number two, have that encounter with him through prayer, through the scriptures, through the sacraments, then everything began to change in my life. And I began to feel the peace. So I'm going to invite you to do that today. Answer the question to him. Why are you troubled? Spend a little time, sit down somewhere, go take a walk, and talk to Jesus. Tell him why you're troubled, and then ask him to help you. Now, the final thought I wanted to leave with you, this is what I touched on at the beginning of the show. So you're not a worrier. Therefore, give up worry. The whole idea is sort of foreign to you. And yes, some people don't tend to worry. But I would like to say this. This came to me in prayer today. Worry is a sign of trying to control something or someone. When we worry, we try to control what essentially is an uncontrollable situation, set of circumstances, our future, people. I worry because I can't control. If I could control, I would just go and do it. You know, I think I said on the show before, if I'm hungry, I don't sit down and worry about my hunger. Will it ever go away? I open the refrigerator and I eat something. You know, if it's raining, I don't say, "Uh-oh, I am worried that I'm going to get wet." I pull my umbrella out and I do something about it. But when we can't control certain things, then oftentimes some of us respond to that by worrying. So it really is a control issue. If you're not a worrier, I would just ask you this question. What takes away your peace? What disturbs or takes away the peace in your life? Is it other people? Is it the state of the world? Is it the lack of Christian values evidenced in the world? Is it impatience with other people and you don't like traffic or so? What takes away your peace? And then I would look at that as your worry, right? Because Jesus wants you to have peace. And the whole purpose of giving up worry for Lent, for good, for whatever, is so that you connect with Jesus, let him lead you to your Father in heaven, his Father, your Father, and so your Father provides for your needs. So in other words, you stop trying to do everything by yourself. If you are upset about anything, and it could be, you know, you're upset the church, the Catholic Church is too liberal, the Catholic Church is too conservative, I don't like this bishop, I don't like my parish priest. Anything that takes away your peace is really a wedge between you and Jesus, because he said today, and he really wants you, you know, and he said it many times, let not your heart be troubled, peace be with you. He wants you to be at peace. So I invite you to lift up whatever that thing is that's taking away your peace. Maybe you're not a worrier. Maybe you're just annoyed. And take that to Jesus and ask him to help you with that. Ask him to change your heart. Ask him to change the situation, whatever he thinks is best. And give him a chance to work like that. Because ultimately, whether you're a worrier or not, Jesus wants you to be at peace. If something's stopping that, you should really work on that and let him help you with that, okay? So that we can all be at peace. That's my 2 cents for today. I'm looking at the clock. I've got to run. Thanks so much for hanging out with me. I look forward to being back here with you tomorrow on Following the Truth for the Friday edition of the program. Hope you'll be able to join me. Have a wonderful night. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless. Bye-bye.